Support for this podcast is provided by SHL. From talent acquisition through to talent management, SHL's science and technology maximize the potential of your greatest asset, your people. SHL help you create the diverse, agile, and innovative workforce you need to succeed in an unpredictable environment. Their data-driven people insights, unmatched portfolio of products, engaging experiences built on science, and global expert services are all delivered on one platform for all your people answers. Visit shl.com to learn more about how SHL can unlock the potential of your workforce.
There's been more of scientific discovery, more of technical advancement and material progress in your lifetime and mine than in all the ages of history.
Hi everyone, this is Matt Alder. Welcome to episode 371 of the Recruiting Future podcast. 2021 has seen mind-blowing levels of investment in HR and talent acquisition technology. WorkTech, as it's now becoming known, is strategically critical to talent acquisition, and it's essential that leaders keep themselves up to date with the market. To help us all with this, I'm delighted to welcome George LaRocque back to the podcast. George is one of the leading analysts who track talent acquisition technology, and it was great to get this market update from him. Hi, George, and welcome back to the podcast.
Matt, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
An absolute pleasure to have you back on the show. For the people who may be listening and hearing your voice for the first time, could you just introduce yourself and tell everyone what you do?
Sure. Well, I'm George LaRocque, and I'm the founder and analyst that publishes under WorkTech is the brand, formerly HR Wins. And so what I do is I study the market, work with employers and vendors to help them understand each other. I do research. I track all of the investment coming in. And I've been in the market for about 30 years. I spent 10 years as a practitioner in staffing and employer side recruitment, and then HR, 10 years as a tech vendor executive, launching a few brands. And the last 10 have been in this consulting, advisory, and analyst space.
Fantastic stuff. Now, we were just saying before I hit record, it was actually 2018 when you were last on the show. And yeah, that does seem like a whole kind of different era, basically.
The before times.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I'm sure that many people listening will kind of have access to the great information and resources that you regularly share. And if they don't, I'm certainly going to recommend that they do. But perhaps for people who've not been sort of following the HR tech market as closely as you and me have, I thought it might be good just to sort of give people a kind of a bit of an update as to where things are in terms of investment in tech in the current sort of stage of the pandemic that we find ourselves in. What have you been seeing in the market?
Well, it has been, for many reasons, a crazy, 18 to 20 months, right, through this pandemic. And that's not just true for us as human beings struggling with the pandemic and what it's done to work, but it's been crazy from a venture capital, private equity, and merger and acquisition perspective as well. Going back to the beginning of the pandemic, we would have thought, as I did, I expected there to be a slowdown, a tapping of the brakes, given the economic impact that the pandemic was definitely going to have and ultimately did. But just the opposite happened. It's been amazing to watch not just a record year in 2020, but at over $5 billion. But then in the first half of this year, basically exceed that over $7 billion in work tech, HR tech investment globally, and to be racing toward $10 billion or more for the balance of the year. It's unheard of. We've never seen anything like this, and there are a lot of factors contributing to that. But that at a high level, It's just been jaw-dropping to watch the number of emerging technology players emerge and the investor interest in this space.
Absolutely. I mean, it is definitely unprecedented stuff, as you say. And it would be interesting to maybe talk a little bit about some of the reasons you think might be behind it. Before we do, though, it's probably worth just spending a tiny bit of time talking about the move from HR technology to work tech, because obviously 18 months ago, we were talking about HR technology as a very broad term that looked at talent acquisition and L&D and payroll and core HR and talent management and all those kind of things. In the last few months, we seem to now be talking about work tech. What's going on with that sort of change of term?
Well, for me, it's been a long transition. So if you go back to, I moved HR Wins to work tech in January. And my the tagline for my site has always been the business and technology of getting work done. And I think, you know, 5 years ago, that was very aspirational. And but as technology has moved along, and then external factors, societal factors that impact HR, like, you know, diversity, inclusion, equity, the Me Too movement, you know, et cetera. And then the pandemic and the spotlight that has been put on employee experience, candidate experience, new models of approaching, you know, everything from the most mundane in like a payroll to the most to where we spend a lot of time thinking about, you know, recruiting and talent acquisition and candidate experience. It's there's been a shift, and a lot of these categories are two things are happening. One is they're folding in to each other. So in recruiting, we see a blending of learning and skills development that contributes not just to external candidates, but internal mobility. And then at the same time, the onus is about the work and not necessarily about the productivity gain back to the employer. So it's about the flow of work and the balance of work and life and so forth. So I think there are different views as to why people are calling it work tech. For me, it's I think, you know, HR holistically, including recruiting, is really at a place where there's a real opportunity to deliver on its promise. And it's been a long time coming. So I think that's the shift for me.
Absolutely. And thinking about some of the reasons related to that, why there's sort of such an explosion of investment at the moment, what are you kind of seeing, I suppose, particularly in the talent acquisition space? What's on trend and what's driving that?
Well, you know, it's a great question. And like many questions about trends right now, you know, it's important to note that there's some hackneyed phrases already, right? Like COVID has accelerated, you know, many trends, but it's very true. And, you know, none of the trends that are in play today were created by COVID. They were either accelerated or business issues, you know, challenges were illuminated by COVID. And, you know, employers and technology innovators have rushed in to focus on these. So, you know, a great example is, you know, remote work. And the displacement of the workforce. Now, you know, in, you know, pre-pandemic, you know, I did a global study with employers, and, you know, 55% were offering some form of distributed work. That's some form of distributed work, from the least flexible version of it through to the completely distributed workforce. And so that was something that had been evolving over, you know, decades. As you know, technology, the internet, and the world became more flat, and talent is located everywhere globally. But this pandemic really shifted that, and it caused, from a talent acquisition perspective, it put a great strain, not only dealing with recruiters now being fully remote, but also looking at the need to source talent from, outside of your commutable range, given the skills shortage that has also become amplified, through this pandemic. There's been a shift in, employee mindset, which is very real. The pandemic had pushed from a knowledge worker perspective, everybody remotely, from the rest of the workforce perspective. Many were in a position where they weren't working, or they were on the front lines, struggling with work. Talent, the cavalry was never showing up, still hasn't shown up. It's very difficult to staff in that workforce. So there's, this great reckoning that's happening, where individuals are, candidates have more leverage in this market. So things like learning and training and skills as part of as part of what I'm offering is incredibly important, along with benefits and more standard, packages. So technology, for example, job boards or marketplaces that are offering, credentials or training, or even full educations that are funded by sponsors that are building their talent pool. This is a model that's emerging, globally and happening more and more. Also, internal mobility and the ability to show employees and candidates not just a career path or a ladder to climb, but the opportunity to move within an organization and invest in their career from a skills perspective and learning. Or it may be the focus on work-life balance and wellness. Not every employee is interested in expanding their skills, but all of these things have changed the dynamics from a talent acquisition perspective, from a recruitment marketing perspective, sourcing perspective, and put a lot of strain on the organization. And then the last thing I would add is, there were several trends that we've been talking about. I know you talk about them, ongoing around automation, conversational technology, automating the transactional part of the process, whether it's screening or assessment or scheduling, to put the recruiter in a more strategic role and have the ability to handle more of the high volume and more of the transactional volume in a knowledge worker environment, and let the recruiters really engage with candidates and hiring managers and being more strategic. The pandemic did not create that trend, but it certainly drove an incredible amount of adoption and new spending and investment as well in that category.
A quick message from our sponsor, Wonolo. Hi, everyone. I want to tell you about Wonolo. That's Wonolo. Wonolo stands for Work Now Locally. Wonolo enables businesses to find quality workers for on-demand, seasonal, short-term and long-term work. Ditch the bulky paperwork and interview process and use Wonolo to find quality workers fast and get work done even faster. With flexible workers and no platform fees, you can save on operating costs, meet demand and maximise earnings with ease. Wonolo is available in over 100 markets, including Chicago, Dallas, Atlanta, New York, and Seattle. Get workers who are ready to work and spend less time finding them with Wonolo. Go to www.wonolo.com/pod. That's www.wonolo.com/pod and take the stress out of finding workers. One of the things that we've been seeing, or seemingly, you might be better equipped to comment on it than me, but one of the things that I think I'm seeing in the market at the moment is more acquisitions and mergers going on as the sort of the larger, better funded companies are gobbling up some of the smaller specialists. Is that the case, or is that just my perception? And if it is the case, do you think that is something that's set to continue over the next couple of years?
It's certainly the case. There are a couple of along with the pandemic and existing trends, another thing that's impacting both the flow of capital from an investment perspective as well as an acquisition perspective is, what's the best way to put it? Money is cheap right now. So, interest rates are low, and Mercer had a line in one of their reports that they put out that said, dry powder meets low interest rates. So, meaning there were cash stockpiles that many investors and corporations had, and then the ability to borrow. Interest rates are low, so it's created this this incredible frenzy in the market where whether it's private equity or whether it's individual companies making acquisitions in the space, and driving mergers and roll-ups and so forth. That's happening. And there have been, in talent acquisition, Smart Recruiters has made acquisitions, PandoLogic in the programmatic space acquired Wade and Wendy. And then, almost immediately, then PandoLogic was acquired by a large tech vendor coming from outside the space looking to get into talent acquisition and HCM. We had Paradox, a conversational AI vendor, acquire Tradeify, an assessment vendor recently. And these deals are happening, there are multiple acquisitions or mergers happening weekly. And it will continue to happen because thinking about that pace of innovation and change, transformation is the buzzword that's happening. Larger vendors will fill the gaps in their product roadmap or their product suite by making acquisitions. Emerging vendors or scale-ups like a Paradox will extend their capabilities by making acquisitions. And or move into new markets by making acquisitions or into a new market segment. And that's not going to change anytime really soon. But at the same time, it's I don't really see it as a market consolidation. There may be a market share that's being consolidated, but there is a rush of new tech vendors filling the gaps, the spaces left by those that have been acquired. So it's really quite interesting right now.
I think that kind of brings us nicely on to my next question. So you've just launched a new initiative around this space. Tell us about it.
Well, it's called Impact Work Tech, and it is an accelerator. So it's really the culmination of everything that I've always done, right? I've worked across a few constituencies. The leaders and practitioners in talent acquisition and HR, the tech providers that are providing technology to them, and then investors. As I've tracked all of the VC coming into the space and help them make sense of the emerging tech players. And for the most part, this has all been done in three streams through advisory, and I'll continue to do that. But as I was talking to a longtime friend of mine, Gareth Jones, the CEO at Head Start, over the years, we've worked together. He's done advisory work and also worked with investors and others in the space. The question became, I was looking at doing some new things with the startup community, and the question became, well, all of these components are here. We should be pulling them together. And why don't you put together an accelerator? So with Garrett as my partner in this, we've built Impact Work Tech. And it is, we're looking at companies that, startups from early stage through to A round that are doing new and innovative things to have an impact on work. And we're pulling together those three constituencies. So we've got the cohort of startups and tech providers. We've got mentors who are operators and leaders and practitioners, or what vendors would consider buyers of HR and talent acquisition technology, that are contributing their knowledge into this cohort to make them, the best that they can be. And then we've got a community of investors who are focused on this space. And our mission is really focused on impact around and filling the education gap for vendors that are coming up in this space. So there's a lot about talent acquisition and HR that's nuanced and different than, say, a generic B2B or consumer product. And that's a gap that we would fill, with advisory services. But in this case, it's more of an educational experience to really accelerate their learning curve, not just the launch of the product or their launch to funding, but really help them understand the customers that they're serving and the needs that they have. So long-winded there, but that's what we're all about.
Absolutely. And I think that's a fantastic initiative, because I think that there can be that knowledge gap. I've seen people launch some fantastic products in our space, but not been able to really communicate the benefits of them in the way that an HR or talent acquisition audience could understand. And I've always felt that that's a real shame, that a lot of really sort of great technologies and solutions perhaps don't get the penetration into the market they deserve because of that knowledge gap. So fantastic to hear that you and Gareth are working together to solve that.
Yeah, and we've got, we're about to announce our mentor, so I'll hold back on that, but we've got about 20 mentors I'm really excited about the diverse backgrounds and the diversity we've been able to put together. And it's a group of people that are really focused on giving back to the industry. So we have folks that have, that are operating in the market today as CEOs and C-level and founder executives, and some that have exited. So they've been down that through that path and journey. Everybody's focused on, giving back to this industry and helping the next wave of technology as it emerges.
So as a final question, lots of talent acquisition leaders who are listening to the podcast, this is a sort of a very confusing area at the moment, with so much investment going into technology and so much money being spent on marketing, and also perhaps some valid concerns around companies being acquired and useful products being sunsetted. What would your advice to employers be at the moment in terms of how they should be thinking about work tech and how they should be sort of shaping their strategies?
Well, I think there's there's going to be a renaissance for these leaders, these buyers of HR technology. And that renaissance is going to be, back in the, early 2000s, when I was bringing, emerging technology to market, we had to spend a lot of time talking about our financials, our financial stability. The whole HR tech startup thing was fairly new at that point. That really slipped away. I think the appetite for risk with startups increased. It became very, very, normal. But this is an environment where the pace is so quick and the success rate for startups is so low. And then, to your point, there's this this feeding frenzy from a merger and acquisition perspective. I think buyers need to bring in their partners from finance or and purchasing to really look at the really evaluate based on what they're buying, right? If they're investing in an app to help them source, they may have a threshold that's a little higher when it comes to risk, the risk that they'll take with a startup that's doing something really innovative in that space versus, let's say, the platform that they're going to run all of their recruiting process through. They might want to have a vendor who's innovative. They might be looking at more of a scale up and want more of a financial profile, or even for a startup that's well funded and looking at things like their spend rate, their burn rate, their roadmap, the profile of the investors that they do have, so that they have an assurance of longevity or sustainability. When it comes to existing, vendors and acquisitions happen, right? And normally one of the things that an acquiring company is acquiring is a customer base. So at that point, as a customer, you do have some leverage with the new entity to ensure that your needs are met on a long-term basis. And so at the point where you're made aware of an acquisition, when it becomes visible to you, that's where I would be digging in to see, do I have leverage in this situation? What will be the future of the product? How will my world change? It's a question I ask every CEO on both sides when there's an acquisition. And there's normally a path that involves retaining those customers. So there is some leverage, and it may be a point where you need to consider making a change, or it may be a point where the value of the product you're using may increase. So I think, that renaissance of going back and looking not just at the features and functions of the technology, but the profile of the partner that you're choosing is going to become even more critical in the next couple of years.
And as a final point, where can people find you and how can they connect with you?
You can find me at oneworktech.com. And whether you use the number one or spell it out, you'll get to the same place. And from there, you'll find links to the accelerator and the ability to connect with me socially. I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Twitter, just about everywhere you might want to connect. And I'm happy to connect with anyone who's interested in the space.
George, thank you very much for joining me.
Matt, thanks for having me.
My thanks to George LaRocque. You can subscribe to this podcast in Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or via your podcasting app of choice. Please also follow the show on Instagram. You can find us by searching for Recruiting Future. You can search all the past episodes at recruitingfuture.com. On that site, you can also subscribe to the mailing list to get the inside track about everything that's coming up on the show. Thanks very much for listening. I'll be back next time, and I hope you'll join me.
This is my show.
Welcome, change agents, to your go-to place for stories that ignite your spirit, fuel your purpose, and connect us all. We believe in the incredible power of the human spirit, its boundless resilience, and the inspiration it brings to our lives. On the Driving Change podcast, we'll journey together through the extraordinary yet very relatable experiences of some of the most amazing people on earth. Our mission? That through these stories, we might just spark change within you and awaken a newfound motivation to harness your unique gifts to make a real difference in the world. So get ready to be inspired and join us on this incredible adventure. You can find the Driving Change podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you love listening to your favorite podcasts.